Chance TV. I'm your host, as always, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, Galen. Galen, you're on the websites team.
Yes.
And can you do a brief introduction as to what you do with the websites team?
Yeah, I'm in the Azure websites team, and currently we're working on this new feature, which is called testing in production. And the idea there is now that you have like a staging slots and a website with the slots, and you can do deployments and continuous deployment and swapping between slots, we want to take this to the next level, where you can route only part of the traffic to one of the slots or to some of the slots and see how the new version behaves. And if the version is okay, you can flip the traffic 100% to the new production slot and continue developing on the new one. Now, another scenario that's possible there is also to make minor changes on the user interface, the typical A/B testing, and see how the people behaves there. So this is those are the scenarios that we're trying to enable right now.
Cool. So let's take a step back there. And basically what people have access to today is at build, actually, we introduced site slots. And mm-hmm. site slots is the ability to, under the same context of a website, create mm-hmm. additional websites that are like different deployment environments. So mm-hmm. you could create a staging environment, a QA yep. slot, all those different things. And that would enable you to kind of go out and deploy out to those different environments.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Now this new functionality called testing in production is allowing us to now gear traffic through our, like, kind of the production URL into mm-hmm. each one of those environments.
Yeah, that's right.
That's really cool.
That's right. Still, we're stepping on top of the slots that was introduced, and still there are different subsites, and that could be totally independent. So if you have a scenario, for instance, where you want to deploy a completely new facelift of the website, which mm-hmm. is completely different, but you're not sure how the users are going to perceive it, you can redirect very small percent of this traffic to that slot, measure the response rate, and dial it up or down based on user response or based on pure technical metrics like error codes or something. So, yeah.
So I know a couple of startup companies that are actually doing things like experimental releases of their mm-hmm. their site, and they do the exact same thing. They say, let's filter 5% of our web traffic into this experimental area, see what the reactions of the people mm-hmm. are, like, oh man, I need to leave, or they might have a pop-down that says, hey, you've made it to our new experimental site, click here to go back to the other one, and then they track all that click traffic mm-hmm. to figure out if people are actually liking the experimental experience, or they just want to go back to the regular website.
Yeah, if you're a small company and you want to have that kind of technology, it pretty much needs to be developed in-house. And that's why we aim at to bring it to the regular small companies without having to spend lots of dev hours to implement or reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. And with simple clicks or like with a PowerShell script, they can do it very easily.
Yeah. And this is very important as well for enterprise customers that mm-hmm. are rolling out new versions of their internal applications or maybe software as a service applications that they're building out. Mm-hmm. So it really helps drive the traffic to the new features or help with the release process of building out all of these different environments and going through the release promotion stages.
Yeah, that's right. That really helps with a very popular DevOps model where the code is being tested by the developers and developers deploy to production. And we have in Azure websites, we already have the support for continuous deployment and continuous integration where you hook up the site with Git or Visual Studio Online. And as you check in, the new version is being deployed. So, but this is 100% of the code is being executed on the particular website. So again, with the slots, you can do the same thing with one slot. And as the developers are checking code, you can expose the dev slot to, let's say, a small percentage of the traffic, like 5%.
Yep.
And look at how the version performs. And later on, if everything's good, you can do a forward integration with the branches or swaps again with a different slot, with the staging slot, for instance.
Yeah. So now that we have everyone out there on the edge of their seats, mm-hmm. yeah. How would someone go and get this going today?
Yeah. The first thing is to go in Azure and create a website with the slots. I have created one site called Bakery, Just to make sure it's a testing in production, I put it a dash tip. And I've created the two extra slots here, the bakery tip dev and staging slot. Mm-hmm. And I've already have a project which is one small bakery website. And we can see here, this is the bakery tip azurewebsites.net, which is the production slot. Mm-hmm. This is the staging slot with dash staging. Just to differentiate them, I've put here staging version 2. And the third one is bakery tip dev, which has the dev dev in the title. Mm-hmm. And also in about us web page, I also made sure it's it can be distinct. Cool. Then, now that we have that one, in Azure PowerShell commandlets, we can go and run a not so small script. But this script, what it's going to do is going to set two rules. The first one is redirecting traffic to this dev slot, only 5% of the traffic, mm-hmm. and then set up another rule for the staging. And just to make sure we can hit very often the staging slot, I set up a 50% of the traffic. And then execute set Azure websites for to set the list of the rules. So let's execute this one.
So let's just summarize back up there. So mm-hmm. basically what the rule is saying, this is how I'd like to adjust the route table for my traffic for this testing and production. So mm-hmm. you've gone out and you've selected you haven't selected a website. You're creating mm-hmm. a list of rules. So you have the host names for each of those respectable sites, the percentage of the traffic that you want to go out there and mm-hmm. talk about, and then the name is just a label. It's not really saying...
The name is just a unique label, yeah. And later on, we don't have this right now, but later on we will expose a way for users, if they want to exercise this particular rule, to be able to do it without having to rely on the percentage. Currently, it's like a random selection, and it's only 5% of the people, for instance, will hit the dev site. But if developers want to navigate through the production host name mm-hmm. to that rule, there will be a way. Yeah, exposed okay. Cool. later on. So all the traffic is going in this site here, bakery tip, is yep. going to the main host name, and the rules are specifying out of this 100% of this production traffic, how much of the percentage will be rerouted in a different slot.
Yeah, so this is kind of a tree, because if you see here, set Azure websites, which everyone should be familiar with, is the way to go out and mm-hmm. set different properties for your Azure website. The slot is yeah. the production, so that's kind of like, this is the main entry point.
That's right.
And then you're saying routing rules, and then you provide a list, which is additional website endpoints yes. that you're routing traffic to.
Yes, that's correct.
Cool.
So this script completed, and let's take a look how the site is going to be. So the difference also, one small difference, I put the color, I changed the color here, besides the labels. And let's take a look. Let's refresh this one. And I guess we hit the production side. One way to look at it also, like internal knowledge, is we save a cookie which points to what rule was executed at the time. And if the user navigates through the browser, the cookie is going to be saved, and the user is going to hit always the same slot. So if there is a facelift scenario of the new version that I mentioned, user is not going to see different completely different designs as they navigate through the website. Mm. So that's what the cookie is. I'm going to delete it just to show a different variation. And we can see here the staging slot is being executed, although I'm executing them through the main host name. Also, this is the red color here. And as I said, I'm browsing, I still see the staging version of the website.
Yeah, cool. So we had Yohai on the show quite a while back, actually, now that I think of it, mm-hmm. Talking about the AR affinity cookie. Mm-hmm. And the AR affinity cookie is to make sure that you get affinity back to the same server whenever mm-hmm. you're serving that up. So the affinity cookie gets you back to the server. This additional cookie sends you to the proper site.
That's right. So first, without the cookie, if the user first navigates to the website, is to the host name, the proper web slot is being selected to be served. And later on, Once the slot is selected, then the affinity cookie plays role to redirect to the correct machine. Maybe it's important here to know that by having slot scenarios, just by creating slot scenario slots for the website, they live on the same machine. So they're always on the same machine or set of machines on the same web hosting plan. So this ensures if you have like three slots, all of them are going to be on the same set of machines, and the same machine is going to receive the further traffic if the affinity cookie is enabled.
Cool. And then if say I had that scenario where I had a little pop-down thing to say, hey, you've made it to our new experimental site. Mm-hmm. We would be able to set this cookie ourselves to route back to that machine?
Not for the machine, since the machine, we are looking at the machine like a farm of machines,
yeah.
So to be able to scale. But the mechanism that I mentioned earlier to specify which rules to execute, mm-hmm. this is going to force set the cookie for you. So you don't have to set the cookie, you just have to say, when browsing to bakery-azure-websites.net, make sure you're going to rule number one. Or staying to production slot.
Okay.
So that is going to set the cookie for further browsing.
So this is really cool. Like we talked about a whole bunch of different scenarios earlier on mm-hmm. why you might use this. But let's get a little bit more into the practical usage of it. Basically, these are all like different websites. So every mm-hmm. single website has the ability to have a connection string or app settings, which are very unique to that particular site. Mm-hmm. How do we go about sharing those settings throughout all our different sites? Is there some functionality there, or is it just something that we know when we're going through testing in production, we should be hitting the production database with each of these pieces?
So there is indeed, as the slot is receiving traffic from production host name, the user or developer should be aware that it needs to point to production database. So that's one thing. It can be the slot scenarios with testing in production scenarios, like building blocks, they enable a lot of usage variations. And it's in the hands of the developer to decide how to use it properly. Well, as I mentioned, one scenario is to use purely for slots for the deployment without testing in production, and then it really they need to point to different databases and to make sure the functionality is working. But as soon as it starts serving production traffic, it needs to point to the production databases. So if it's a e-commerce site, we're making sure we're making real purchases and sending correct items to the customers.
Yeah. So if you pop back up the PowerShell code there.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if we're going out and automating this stuff with PowerShell as it is, we have the opportunity within this set Azure websites. It wouldn't be within this line,
mm-hmm.
but before we go and add these routing rules to our site, we could go in and automate, you know, switching the connection strings over to our production connection string as a task before we get to actually rerouting traffic for testing in production.
Yeah, that's right. Everything can be automated in the PowerShell, or at least we're trying to make sure everything is can be automated. And also for the swapping itself, we're making sure to introduce the notion of the sticky settings. Mm-hmm. So as we swap the slots, some of the settings stay with the slot itself. They're not being migrated. This is more important towards completely swapping, not in testing in production, but more in the testing in production is to point to real production databases.
Yeah.
And as they're the scenarios where they're very minor changes, as I demonstrated, they can be very, very major changes where the whole site is reworked and points to a completely new different set of databases. Mm-hmm. So that's in the hands of the developer to configure.
Okay. You actually brought up a really good point where we introduced this concept of build of having site slots, but I don't think I've had anyone on the show to show swapping between those slots. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to do a quick demo of that in the portal?
Oh, yeah. So if we go here and currently let's swap between staging and development slot.
Mm-hmm.
Just selecting here And as I'm currently in the staging slot, the slots that I have are this is production slot and this is the development slot. Just selecting it, the swapping operation started. Mm-hmm. And let's wait for the notification. Cool.
So when this is going while this is going through, mm-hmm. what are the connection strings and app settings that are getting swapped? Is everything staying in our staging site and just the web codes kind of getting moved over to the new environment, or is it literally doing a full swap of the entire website?
So in this particular scenario, since then I haven't specified sticky settings, and the whole thing is being swapped. So you can think of completely two different websites. It's just the host name at the top is start redirecting 100% of the traffic to a different different site. Yeah, the swap completed. So let's take a look at the both sides. So this is the staging endpoint. You can see dash staging. It's pointing to the staging. Has a staging title, and if I refresh it, it points to the dev one with a different color. The same thing if I go to the dev endpoint, and again refresh the browser, it points to the staging. So this is the old swap slots, and 100% of the traffic between those two themselves is being swapped.
Cool. So there's many different levels that we can do swapping. So if you wanted to rev up traffic into your QA site to actually get some real live customers coming through, mm-hmm. testing some things out, get some metrics off of that, that's cool. Once you're ready, you have the ability to just go and swap these immediately, or you could just tip the scale on the testing and production and just mm-hmm. say, push 100% of my traffic here.
Yep.
If you do that though, there's still, you know, you're now taking your production mm-hmm. endpoint and you're pushing 100% of traffic to the other endpoint. And then how do you get people, you could not get people back to production at that point, could we?
You can dial up and down, okay. But in that case, since you dial up the traffic to 100%, most natural is to do an actual swap,
yeah.
Which shouldn't do pretty much anything to the user since they're already hitting the swapped swap side, and then use the formal production slot, use it as a staging, yeah. And keep doing it. Another way is just to set up those three sites, production, staging, and dev, and have all of them receive traffic so developers can get a real-time feedback from the users, mm-hmm. If the quality is good, of course, and yeah. You're brave enough.
Yeah. Dev, maybe not the case, because you are going to be pushing to the production database if you do have real-life customers coming in, mm-hmm. Unless you can pull the results off of the server. A little bit extra work, but this is a really cool feature. I'm actually really excited to see this because I'm into the whole DevOps story. I really enjoy getting websites live. Like that's my big thing. And seeing the ability to do canary testing, A/B testing, and all this stuff come native to websites is just an absolutely incredible thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. This is just the first step, and we have in mind many, many more routing rules, but we keep this for later. And once we are ready, we share it again.
Well, it's perfect though, because now this is the feedback channel. Mm-hmm. So if anyone out there has some sort of routing rule that you'd like to see for testing in production, you can leave a note in the comments section just below this video here, and we'll get that feedback back to your team.
Oh yeah, any feedback is most appreciated. Thank you, Will.
Yeah, cool. And you know, speaking of feedback, there is always the user voice, mm-hmm. which is out there. We'll get a link to that below. Do you have anything else you'd like to share with us?
MSDN forums and Stack Overflow is actively monitored by our team. So if you have any questions, comment, please feel free to post there. And the dev team is looking actively in those.
Cool.
Those two.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and showing off testing and production. This is absolutely incredible feature.
Thank you very much for
everyone
the invite.
Out there will be out there testing this out very shortly. So thank you so much.
Yeah, please send your feedback. Thank you.
Awesome. And thank you all out there for joining us today here on WebCamps TV.